a time to use what I know. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. A time to use what I know. What is it that I know? What is it that I believe? What is it that makes my life important and makes my life wonderful and fantastic? Well, the things that make my life fantastic are the realization that I know that within me dwells all knowledge. I know that the universal allness is as much me as I am the universal allness. And it's up to me to determine whether I, as the universal allness, want to be aware of my universal allness or not. And of course, if I don't want to be aware of my universal allness, then I'm not. If I want to be aware of it, then I am. You say that's a very simple response that seems very easy to do. So I'm going to be aware of my universal allness. Now, as my universal allness, I know exactly whatever I wish to know. I have within me the knowledge, the awareness of anything that I choose to be aware of, no matter what it may be or how interesting it may be. I would like to know what the evolution of animal creation is. I'd like to know how animals were created in the very beginning and how animals are brought forth into being what they are today. So I listen to myself and I say, okay, I know that I know that I know. The divine in me knows the answer, and I know exactly what it is. Then I begin to say what is in my thought, in my heart, in my mind, in my talking, and I start revealing what it is that animals are. Now, first I say that all exists. Every animal, every creature that ever was or ever will be already exists. And it already exists in its complete form. But its complete form is not the form that I normally think of. I think of the complete form in the form that I know it now. I don't think of it in its complete form in each step along the way that it was complete when it was 50,000 years old or 100,000 years old or a million years old. I don't think of it as being complete then, but it was. It was just as much complete then as it is now. But the definition of complete changes as time passes. At one point in time, being complete meant something entirely different than being complete now means. Now I say the evolution of the species makes it different now than it was then. Well, that's not true. Whatever it was then, it was then and is always what it was then. And whatever it is now, it is what it is now, and it always is what it is now. There's no evolution between the two. We may make it happen that way in our minds because we like to have it be consistent or have it be something we can understand, but in truth it's not. If I could just train myself to realize that all exists right now, all time, all space, all isness exists right now, and that a dog that was a dog 50,000 million years ago was a different type of a creature. It had different purposes for itself at that time. A dog a million years ago lived without perhaps a human to guide him and work with him. A dog a million years ago perhaps had a different body shape, a different form, a different tooth structure to work with different types of foods that he had available to him. A dog a million years ago is still a dog, but it's a dog as a dog a million years ago. It doesn't matter about the time, because in time, there is no time. In time, there is no time. How do I say in time then? I don't. At this point, along the expression of life and along this expression of beingness, the dog was a dog as a dog with a little different modus operandi to it. And today, a dog is a dog, and even now, we have such a variety of dogs. We have dogs that we try to breed back into primal experiences where they are fighting dogs. We have dogs that we train to be ratters. They go under barns and chase out the rats or get the rats. And we have dogs that we train to be hunting dogs and retrievers and dogs of every nature that you can imagine. Now, each dog has within it all that the essence of dog means. It has the idealness of dog in it, and it will always be there. It will always be there. Now, as the centuries go by, and as time apparently goes by, we live on a different reference scale, the dog will quite likely be on a different reference scale too. At that time, let's say, 500,000 years from now, or just 5,000 years from now. That doesn't have to be so great. 5,000 years from now, we will have learned that we can use our mind in a much more brilliant way. It's a time to use what we know, that our mind is accomplishing whatever we wish. And if we want a dog to be a ratter, that means we have rats that we don't want. So in our mind, we create ourselves free of rats. In our mind, we create the rats who do exist, wherever they exist, where they are compatible with where they exist. In the mountains, in the hills, in the forests, in the wilderness, wherever they can exist very comfortably. Now, we don't need to create dogs who go out and ferret out rats, but we do that because we feel that is what we'd like to do. We are now 5,000 years tomorrow, and that's 8,000 years, 5, 6, 7, the year 7,000 something, you know. So, now, what are you going to do at that time? Are you still in the primitive aspect of thinking that you have to have a car to go from here to there? Or do you teleport yourself? Do you think that, I think I'll visit Grandma? And right then, instantly, you're visiting Grandma. And you share with Grandma and have a good old time with Grandma, and perhaps even have something wonderful to eat and do other good things. And then you say, well, Grandma, I sure enjoyed my visit. I'll be back shortly, and it's just wonderful coming to visit you. Oh, do come back soon. I enjoy your visits. And so, pick, we're gone. Now, she doesn't think that's unusual at all. She doesn't say to us, where's your car? She doesn't say to us, where's your airplane? Where's your system of transportation? She just knows that in that year of 7,000, whatever it may be, in that year, we travel by our thought. And we don't travel by our thought. We are where we wish to be by our thought. Our thought is whatever it is. We say, I'm at the lake cottage. And so, zip, I'm at the lake cottage. And I'm enjoying and swimming in the beautiful, warm lake water. And zip, I'm in the beautiful, warm lake water. And there are no houses around the lake except mine. Zip, there are no houses around the lake except mine. And now, perhaps at that particular time, the lake was crowded with houses. But you move yourself to a point in time where there are no houses around the lake. Yours is the only one there, and you are putting it there right this minute. And you are putting a house as grand as you wish or as primitive as you wish, but it is instantly there. It has all the utilities, all the services, all the things that you would like to have in your house, and it is there. If you wish television, it is there. If you wish radio, it's there. If you wish telephones, it is there. If you wish cell phones or whatever things you choose to experience, you think they're there, and there they are. You don't wish for them because you know they already exist, and you merely choose to take them out of their already existence in the universal and demonstrate them or reveal them at the point in time that you are there. We have the opportunity to be so grand. It's a time to use what I know. Truly a wonderful time to use what I know. And in using what I know, I use it in whether it's beautiful ways or significant ways or impractical ways or practical ways, it makes no difference. The condition of whatever exists does not depend upon my intelligent use of it. It just depends upon my use of it, just as I choose to use it. So here I am in the 21st century, and I do not have the skill of moving myself by thought from one place to another, but I'm also in the year 8000, and I move myself beautifully by thought. I always can do it. I always do it. So now I'm in the year 21st century, and I move myself by thought. And I'm thought to be a wizard by those around me because they haven't chosen to move themselves by thought. They haven't chosen to, by their thought, be whatever they want to be, even though they are whatever they want to be, and they do whatever they want to do in this 21st century. They may say, no, they can't, and then shut it off. They may say, yes, they can, and do it. And they'll say, it's inconceivable, and it's inconceivable. It is the most normal thing in the world, and it's the most normal thing in the world. Whatever our thought is, however we wish to respond to the universal allness, the universal allness has it all right now. It's not a matter of having it being created brand new. It already exists. You're merely revealing it. We're merely revealing it. A pharaoh, back in the times of the pyramids, he could have had himself a beautiful Rolls Royce. He could have driven around in such a lovely car if he wished. Or he could have had it, and the car would have driven him where he wished if he had chosen to do that. And if he had chosen to do that, and if he had chosen to have it, he would have that car with a car that did not need fuel. It did not need gas and oil. It did not need tires. It did not need anything. Yet it had all the little accoutrements that are coming in a beautiful Rolls. So, you say, well, he'd have no gas stations. He'd have no mechanics. He'd have nothing. Well, if he had the vehicle and he chose to, he wouldn't need mechanics, and he wouldn't need gas stations if he chose that. He would just choose that the car always functioned exactly the way he thought it functioned. The car was speckless, spotless. Not one speck of dirt landed on that car that he did not choose to have. There was not one bit of movement in the engine that he did not choose to have. Every movement in that engine is a movement that he chose. If he chose to have the car operate as a 21st century car, then it would do so. If he chose to have the car operate as an 8th century experience, he would do it. 80th century, I guess you would call it, whatever. But he would do it. He would do whatever it is in his mind to do. Not that a wish, not something that doesn't exist, but he would just reveal something that already does exist. And this is what it's up to us. We can reveal what already exists by our thought. No matter what it is that our thought wants to dwell upon, the knowledge of its dwelling upon is already there. It is already a fulfilled, realized concept that we are making ourselves aware of. And as we make ourselves aware of this beautiful, fulfilled concept, it's there. It's there. We laugh at some of these magicians who do magical things, and we think how wonderful it is, and really, is it so wonderful? Is it so wonderful that these magicians can do these magical things? Not really. You can do it, I can do it, we do it all the time. They merely make a theater out of it. They make a show out of it because they like to have the game be appreciated by people. Now, could these magicians snap their fingers or think their thought and have a lovely home, have a lovely car, have a lovely bank account, have a lovely world, have a family that is absolutely the ideal family, the ideal husband and wife, the ideal children, the ideal mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and brothers and sisters and world, the ideal world? Well, yes, that already does exist. Now, you say, well, I can understand the family. That's not too difficult, because that's something you can do with your talking, your thinking, your working. But a physical house and a physical car or something like that, that's different. No, it isn't. The cars all exist everywhere, even a model that you never dreamed of. And people bring them forth. Well, you got to have money to do that. No, you don't. A lot of automobile manufacturers wanted to put out certain things, and they didn't want to spend time and spend the money in tooling, retooling for this new model. So they just sort of upgraded the old model. And they made it a little better. And some person comes along, and he says, I have a dream. I have in my mind the thought of a beautiful car, and I am going to build it and sell it. And so he does. Now, he doesn't stay in business because he didn't have the dream of, after building the car and selling the car, of maintaining the car in a marketing basis. He merely built it and sold it, and he accomplished what he wanted to do. Now, how many did he build? Two, three, one? It doesn't matter. He did it. How did he build it? Oh, he built it out of all sorts of things. Well, why couldn't the manufacturer build it and spend no more money than he did on it? Well, he spent a great deal of money on it. And people spent a lot of money who bought it from him because it was a one of the kind or a few of a kind. But, hey, what is it? It's not a matter of the technology that went through bringing it forth. It was an idea. It was always there. It was a fulfilled idea or a non-fulfilled idea. It was a revealed idea or a non-revealed idea. The idea exists. Now, would they have to have a manufacturing plant to bring forth that idea? No. Would they have to have tooling? Would they have to have equipment to bring it forth? No. What would they bring it forth with? Well, they already brought it forth with the idea. They already brought it forth and drew the picture of it. The picture of it was right there in black and white and color. The picture of it was right there, ready to be seen by everybody and appreciated. Oh, I like that car. Oh, that car's got pizzazz. That car's got moxie. That car has wonderful qualities about it. Ooh, I like that. I like that. And so then it brings it forth. Now, why is it the car didn't remain forth? Because it was not a universal idea. It was universal. But it was not an idea that everyone espoused. It was an idea that just a few espoused. When you have an idea, and you think, I think I'll visit Grandma, and you're in Chicago and she's in Oregon, and zip, you're there. Say, hi, Graham, how you doing? She says, well, where'd you come from? Oh, I just teleported. Oh, you did? Well, that's nice. I was wondering when you kids were going to catch on to that, but it's fun. I do that all the time. You do? Well, sure. You don't think I take the train or the plane when I come to visit you? I just appear at your doorstep there with my suitcase, and you say, well, Graham, how nice to see you. And you presume I flew. You presume I drove. You presume I did something, which I didn't do. And that's okay. You see, I was a one-of-the-kind. I was a one-of-a-kind experience. And I can do that often. I'm one-of-a-kind often doing these things. But I don't tell you. Because you say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, I don't know anybody who does. And you see, your negativity would make everything very, very unhappy and unpleasant for me. Because I don't like to explain what I'm doing when you're not yet ready to understand the content, the concept of teleportation. When you're not ready to understand the concept of being there. When you're not ready. So I just appear there and I let you presume that I came in the way that is most natural for you to presume, by train or by car, by plane, it doesn't matter. It's whatever you presume, and whatever you presume, that is it. If you're the absolute philosopher, you're dwelling on these wonderful concepts. And you can dwell on them right now and make them yours and have a time of your life if you wish, because it's yours right now. So enjoy and know that I'm with you always as you walk your path of being yourself and having fun, living in the now, being the allness of anything that your mind can think about right now. And it is done. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.